podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
How's it going, people? Welcome back to the channel and welcome back to the Forever Arsenal podcast. Hope everyone is all good and well out there. We are back. It's the regulars, me, Jordan, Lee and James. And the World Cup group stage has come to an end. And it's been quite an exciting group stage. I think everyone can agree that, you know, in terms of football and excitement, upsets and so on, this World Cup has delivered on many fronts. And we're going to get into each group and each first place, second place finish. And make little predictions of the last 16 round as well. But let me welcome the lads as usual, first and foremost. Jordan, Lee, James, you look all good?
Yes, sir.
All good.
I'm in a very cold living room, but yeah.
Hands up if you've still got two teams left in the competition.
I think so. I forgot what I've got. I always forget.
Jordan, put your hand down, will you, please?
I've got France and England.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You just predicted you're about to do something good. That's all it was.
Listen, it's early in the morning, yeah. But yeah, that's right. Yeah, you have got France and England, like, you know what I mean? It was soon to be going out by the looks of it, like, you know?
The team.
This is the guy that predicted Uruguay, right, yeah, to be the dark horses for the World Cup. They're currently bottom and they are out of the World Cup. Now, I've also heard a rumour, guys. I don't know if this is true, right, yeah, that Jordan started supporting Arsenal in 2006, right? The week before the Champions League final. Right? I don't know if this is true.
Absolute lies.
We've won everything before he started supporting the club, you know what I mean? Like, and we would have gone on and won the bloody Champions League, but oh no, he decides to go and buy, his mum decides to buy him a red and white scarf. And that's the end of it, like, you know what I mean? Like, you know?
That's the end of it.
This is absolute lies, spurious lies that you're putting out on the internet, Lee. Absolute lies. Regarding just on Uruguay, I mean, we were literally 30 minutes from going through, and then we finished bottom. I don't know.
Yeah, but that's typical, Jordan, isn't it? Like, I mean, gotta say that, like, you know, dark goals. They might as well pack their bags the minute you see the
winners. But listen, it was sweet seeing Suarez in pain. Quite, that was good. I mean, I tipped Uruguay, but I love seeing Suarez in that much pain, crying. So that every cloud.
Yeah, I think Ghana finished bottom of the group, but I know.
Was it Ghana? Okay.
Oh, Ghana finished. Did they finish bottom in Ghana?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thomas Partey's on his way home. Does he go home?
Oh yeah.
Does he have a break first, or does he go straight to Dubai? I don't know.
I think they're great.
Yeah, I don't know where the lads fly. I think, is it Monday they go? I'm not sure. Statman, do you know?
I know they came out to training on Monday. Friendlies on Thursday, I think we were saying Turkish. Yeah. I could have seen them doing, I don't know, a week's work and then flying out. Normally Arsenal would talk about it, wouldn't they? They'd say, you know, flying out to Dubai and all that. And, yeah. You know, but...
It'd be Monday or Tuesday, wouldn't it?
Something like that, yeah. It'll be something like that. But I don't think Partey will get that much time off, to be honest.
No, I don't think he should either.
I think he'll get 10 days, maybe. And then
I don't think he'll get that. I think he might get 4 or 5 days. Serious.
Maybe.
You know? Maybe. What are you doing? Like, you know, out of curiosity, do you think that he'll fly back home or he'll fly to Ghana first and then or just jump over to Dubai?
Honestly, they're doing these things instantly. So what, Ghana went out of the tournament yesterday around UK time, was around 5 p.m. They were the earlier games. I reckon they've probably left already.
Mm.
I reckon they've probably already left the World Cup. I mean, you know, left Qatar and headed back to where the players are heading. I don't know whether they fly as a team or I don't know. Maybe it's just they all jet off to wherever they need to be with their clubs or holiday or whatever.
Unless you've got a reason to go back to the UK, I mean, Dubai and Qatar are not that far apart. So why would you just go straight to Dubai?
It's a really interesting thing.
Take your holiday there, then meet the players.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You've just been knocked out of the World Cup and Mikel's on the phone. Hello, try to start tomorrow. Do you remember? You know what I mean? Like, when do you make that call and go, like, you know, is he all right? Is he disappointing or whatever? Like, or are they just like, no, what
Lee,
it is?
Do you remember AFCON? They got knocked out. And he was the morning
after. That's right,
Unlucky you got your finished bottom of the group, but we'll see you tomorrow for training. Like, you know,
we're doing doggies.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Well, Xhaka made it through. Xhaka.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
I was disappointed. I'm not gonna lie.
You wanted him to come back as
a two selfish reasons. I got Serbia. I had Serbia in the sweepstake for the £1,000. So I've seen my £1,000 go down the toilet yesterday. But also, I wanted a not that I'm bitter. You know what I mean? Like, I had a good team.
Hang on, sorry. Who puts £1,000 in a sweepstake?
No, it's the one we're doing at DR Sports, isn't it? Like, you know,
bloody hell.
And Robbie,
I need to get on that channel.
So I've got Serbia, like, you know.
Sometimes we get Denmark in the sweepstake and they
so you're £1,000. What about you, Turkish? Who'd you get?
Portugal.
Oh, look at the little smart ass. No wonder he wants us up early today. Like, he's going Christmas shopping on our money. I'll tell you, it's a joke. Yeah, so I lost that. But I also, Jordan made a great point a couple of weeks ago, and he was dead right about it. The two guaranteed starters are Partey and Xhaka, and they've played every minute of the World Cup so far, like, you know. So part of me wanted Switzerland to go out yesterday just so that he was back home, like, do you know what I mean? Safe and sound. But there you go. It's not happened. So, good luck to him. But I did want them out for selfish reasons, you know. But part of me wants Xhaka to do well as well, of course, you know what I mean? But, yeah, that's how I feel.
Well, I don't know how much of the Ghana games you guys saw, but since we've touched in on Partey and Ghana first, we might as well talk about Partey's World Cup and whether he had a good one or a bad one or an indifferent one. Off the back of yesterday, I know a lot of people were kind of divided on whether Partey's had a good World Cup or not. I've seen good moments from him, but overall, yeah, I don't think it's been a great World Cup for him. Jordan, what do you think?
Indifferent. I think Ghana are poor. Ghana are not a good side. Even if they'd have gone through yesterday, they'd have got knocked out first round. They'd have got knocked out. They're not good. But yeah, him, I don't think he was poor. I don't think he was great. But it's hard to judge when you're in a team that is as poor as Ghana are. So I don't know really how to assess him. He didn't do anything from what I saw, like, shockingly bad. But equally, he didn't stand out either. I would say indifferent with Partey.
James, in his position, do you expect a player like that to stand out in a team that, like Jordan said, is not the best of quality?
I just think, like, more than ever, we see players struggle when they're not in the systems that they're used to and the players that they're around. Football's moved so far away from, like, the individual quality of being able to stand out even amongst poor sides or new teammates. And listen, Partey's played with Ghana many times, but it's more, you see when Partey gets the ball and he's playing as that defensive midfielder for Arsenal, it's like he knows immediately where Odegaard and Xhaka are going to be, and it all feels seamless. And, you know, I think some of that is being sucked out of the game a little bit, that ability to show that individual quality. Do I expect more? I don't know, but I guess to answer in a different way, let's say he went and had a really poor World Cup. I wouldn't exactly be worrying about whether that's going to affect how he plays at Arsenal. I kind of am pretty confident that chucking back in the system he's been playing in all season, that's really worked for him, and you'll get him back to those levels or near enough those. So, no, I'm not particularly worried about it.
Three games. Sorry, Jordan.
No worries. Used to it. Go ahead, Lee. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, like, three games in quick succession, got through them all. That's what I'm pleased about. Like, you know, I felt that he played quite well. I think there was four or five times, more than that, that he puts it through the lines with a lovely pass. It breaks down on him, he's trying to win it back again. Like, you know, the fact of the matter is, as good as Partey is for us, and the reason he's good for us, because he plays in a cog where other players are better around him. And that's what you need. And unfortunately, Ghana, he hasn't got the players. You know, he is a holding midfield player. He's not a box-to-box. He's not going to take the games by the scruff of the neck in that sort of way. He controls the game from backfield, if you like, and then lets other players play. Unfortunately, Ghana haven't got those players, so he's never going to do well. A bit like Højbjerg at Denmark. You know, would you say he had a good World Cup? No. But, you know, needs other players around him to make him click and be that player that he is.
Has anybody ever been so sure of a penalty miss than when Ayew stepped up for that penalty. I said, I was at work, and I said to everyone, he's not going to score. I thought he put it wide. I said, he's not going to score. And it was one of those things you just say, he's a poor player. But that penalty, I just knew, one, because he's not a good player, he'd miss. But second of all, that whole kerfuffle that Uruguay were causing before the penalty was taken was all designed to A, add pressure, and B, distract him, do you know what I mean, from his focus. I just knew he was going to miss. The penalty was awful. That was one of the worst penalties ever. But I just knew it. I've never been so sure in my entire life of a guy missing a penalty. I just knew it. So, it was so poor.
There was unbelievable drama throughout the end of the round. I've said this before, but even with the upsets of Japan beating Germany, Saudi Arabia beating Argentina, I've actually struggled a little bit the World Cup. I've not found the quality that great. And I sort of, on this other show I did, I kind of listed a load of reasons why maybe I've not enjoyed it as much. But ultimately, I think it comes down to, in fact, I know we do comment of the week, but this is the one that I wanted to, oh, I've lost it. Oh, that's embarrassing. Okay, I'll find it in a sec. But basically, the comment was, I know, that's bad. But I'll find it and then I'll credit. But the, I had it on my phone, that's gone. It's refreshed. The comment was basically, is watching Arsenal kind of made us, or watching this tournament made us appreciate how good Arsenal have been playing. And I think I've had a little bit of a sense of that. I'm watching teams that I'm not as entertained by, blown away. Maybe Spain. But even Spain are having kind of lulls in games. And yeah, I think round three was needed, at least for me, just some of the drama we've had from, I mean, it's been throughout, Senegal winning against Ecuador was brilliant, being 1-0 up, then back to 1-1, then 2-1 up. And then you've got, the Mexico-Poland games, you've got, what did you have the night after, Germany, Spain? I mean, it's all like, it was unbelievable. And it was generally like every kind of set of fixtures was going right to the wire. And South Korea, what they did to win it so late on was unbelievable as well. And we saw the scenes of Heung-min Son really devastated because he thought he was out after the second round. But look how things changed. So I've got to say, round three has been what the World Cup was needed for me, just to kind of light it up and show that, no, this isn't just wedged halfway through a season and players are kind of not as into it. It's, the passion and everything is absolutely there. We knew it was, but I just think on a footballing level, we've seen it in terms of the drama and the excitement and all that. So it's been great this week.
I agree 100% with everything James just said. I wasn't engaged in this World Cup until Tuesday. Until that, I was saying to Turkish before we came on air, until the Ghana-South Korea game, I wasn't feeling this World Cup at all. I wasn't feeling this World Cup at all. But that, from that game on, there's just been, the games have been better. The quality's been a bit better. The quality's been poor for the first round, even two rounds of games, I thought. There's some poor games, too many poor games. But yeah, I agree. It's kind of lit up now, and I'm in. I'm all in.
What a game that was, by the way, wasn't it?
It's a great game. Great game.
There's been a few high-scoring ones as well. No teams won all three of their games.
Nope.
I think Turkish points to, I mean, okay, I got my Uruguay call wrong, but my thinking behind the Uruguay prediction was that I don't think the winner's going to come from the big four being Brazil, Germany, Spain, and France. I'm not sure that the winner, I mean, England could win it. One of those four teams could win it. But I still think there's going to be a surprise winner of this World Cup.
Get your money on any one of them four now, just get your money on it,
right? I've just got a feeling it's going to be a surprise winner this year.
I thought Argentina's level went up massively. People arguing, saying Poland were poor. I said, well, actually, Poland had everything to fight for, which was, basically get a point and protect the goal difference and all that. And Argentina, I just thought, looked far, far better than they did in all the previous games. So interested to see if they carry that on. But the comment was from Arjvi. I have found it. I know, it's good of me, right? He said, I'm not sure whether it's just me, but watching all these games has made me miss and appreciate what amazing football we play and win week in, week out. Boxing Day can't come soon enough. But, I mean, I get it. Like, I have been watching going, these teams aren't as good as Arsenal. Arsenal would win the World Cup. I'm convinced of it.
On one hand, I got a fucking guy printing a t-shirt with top of the league and it before Christmas. The other one, I'm doing a podcast with a guy who says Arsenal's going to win the World Cup.
They would.
It's not a bad point. It's not a bad point, James.
I think Arsenal would win the World Cup if that 11 was entered the tournament.
Semi-finals.
Oh, yeah, I don't think that. I think that Manchester City would win the World Cup as well. I think that teams like that would, like, you know, Bayern Munich. They're better, aren't they? Because they've just got better play. Like, what the thing is, I think with this World Cup, I think like one, every team's got one, maybe two world class players, like, you know. But Man City have got 8 or 9. You know what I mean? Like, that's the difference, you know. And the one thing about this World Cup that I've noticed is a lack of firepower in this of teams around the world. It is incredible, you know. And you look at England, and you look at the Premier League. We've got goal scorers in it every week, you know. And I look at some of these, but I look at Spain. They could still be out there now. I would have fallen asleep, but they still wouldn't have scored. You know what I mean? Like, unbelievable. It was so poor. Portugal, as I think are my dark horses to win it. To be fair, they look pretty good, but they're relying on a 37-year-old striker. Where's their strikers? You know what I mean? Where's all their strikers coming through? I look at Brazil yesterday. You know, they've got great. Great players, but some of their play. I'm going to say it for Brazil. I'll say it now. I fear for Brazil. I don't think they're going to do too well in this world. I don't think they're going to win it because I think they've got too many good players. I know that sounds silly, but I don't think they've got killers. If you look at what will be the criticism of Jesus, is that he's not a killer. The criticism of Richarlison, he's not a killer. I really do. I look at Spain, France have got Giroud as their top man. Like, you know, England have got a very good chance with the goal scorers that we've got in our team. But I've been very, very, you know, very, very disappointed. Look at Argentina, Martin. He's been poor, poor.
I think it's a really good point Lee makes there about the lack of firepower from most teams. And then, as Lee says as well, the one team that does have on paper shitloads of firepower haven't been firing, Brazil. They haven't been firing. So, yeah, I agree. Across the board, the lack of weapons up top is not great.
Between tiki-taka and false nine, the football landscape has changed so much. And this is what it's resulted in. You know, there was an era where, you know, tiki-taka came through and then the false nines followed shortly after. And a lot of kids growing up off the back of that, looking at that. And it be this era where you look around and there isn't many killers. That's why recently on a live with James, I mentioned, you know, if you compare the top three in most positions now compared to the top three in most positions 20 years ago, I think 20 years ago, you find that the quality overall was better. But I don't know if you want to get into this topic now.
I will. False nine, you know what I mean? We're being thrown about this false nine as it's a great thing. Just like we're false as young men, as false boobs. It's not, you know, you can't beat the real deal. You know what I mean? Like a proper centre forward.
End the pod.
No, I'm serious. End all this false stuff, like, you know what I mean? We're in a world now of false. And it's not good enough. I want a proper centre forward that bangs the ball in the back and talk about it. End of. Move on.
At 9:30 in the morning on a Saturday.
Well, it's true though, isn't it? Like we're being false fed with this false nine.
Like, bring back real boobs.
What upbringing did you have?
Bring back real boobs.
I never.
You know what Lee got for Christmas? You know what Lee got for Christmas?
That's all I'm saying.
You know, when
the world's a better place for it, I'm telling you, like, I mean,
real boobs matter. That's what Lee said.
Yeah, right and all. Like, you know what I mean? But this false nine just gets on my goat. I was just about to say, saying it gets on my, I won't say that. Like, you know what I mean? But like, it's on my falsies, I'll tell you, like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah.
You know, when someone delivers an analogy and you go, oh, yeah.
but I'm serious. I'm being serious now. It's false nine. Get the proper striker in. All this, like, I've had enough of it.
To be fair, arguably, the three best centre forwards in the world aren't at this World Cup: Haaland, Mane, Benzema. So we are missing three.
Oh, that's a great point. Yeah.
Three forwards. You know what I mean in that sense. But yeah, Lewandowski should be doing better. But he plays for Poland. You know, Kane is blunted a little bit by England's play. Okay, Mbappe's got a couple of goals. Jesus is not a killer. You know, Brazil's strikers aren't killers. So yeah, I agree generally with Lee's point.
But also, so I think like tactical approaches to games. And listen, every game's approach tactically. But what I mean is, like, I think coaches are kind of more methodical and planned than ever before. We touched this earlier in the pod, and I just think, quite frankly, you can build defensive shapes and structures quicker than you can really good attacking fluid formations. And when the squad's changing all the time because of injuries, because of players, you know, coming in and out of form, and then there's no build up to the World Cup, I just think you're going to naturally find teams are struggling a little bit to create great chances, to show that fluidity, especially when teams are very good these days at dropping into good shapes and denying you. So, I mean, look at Brentford the other day against City. You know, it wasn't even like City missed a load of good chances, you know, and Brentford kind of got them on the counter. This was Brentford actually fully denying them anything, really, in terms of opportunities and space in front of goal. And teams are getting a lot better at that. And, you know, sides now at the World Cup having to really rely on a little bit of individual quality. That's why France are probably still my favourites, because Mbappe's a wild card who will just do something out of nothing, whether it's take on three players and put it on a plate for Giroud.
That's a great point. You know, Japan, by the way, I have to say, I know, like, Spain sort of, you know, like, didn't do it, but they defended fantastically well. Absolutely defended, like superb. And Tommy Asset, I've got to say, he's come on in a couple of games now when it's really mattered, and organises that defence. We've always said it, what a very, very good defender he is. And he is. He's a very, very good defender. He organises as well. And so I do take that point on board.
In terms of the biggest surprises, Japan have probably been the one, considering they've beaten Germany and Spain.
Yeah.
One down half time, coming back.
Lost to Costa Rica.
Yeah.
It's mad.
Well, maybe because that's how they set up. I suppose that's a great point, what James is saying. They're probably set up to defend against better teams. And when they have to attack, they find it difficult. So, you know, the harder the opponent, the more they're going to just sit in and defend and hit people on the break.
Japan showed real quality on the counters as well in those games against Germany and Spain. Like, and I think the ability to counterattack well is very underrated. I know that because Arsenal, for a couple of years until this season, didn't counter-attack well. And we had pace and we had players that could, like Aubameyang and all that. But, you know, being what people say devastating on the counter is seeing space and, you know, diagonal runs and
timings
apart. And we just haven't had that. And a lot of teams of the World Cup, I think, have struggled to look particularly good on the counter, but some have. And I think Japan...
Well, Morocco have looked pretty good on the counter.
Japan just looked aside that when they have been getting those opportunities to attack and go at teams, they've shown real quality. And by the way, how long did it take for people to accept that goal was in? The second one? The ball over the line?
Yeah. People still haven't accepted it. People are still waking up today, going on Twitter to tweet, I can't believe that was a goal.
I mean, did you see the footage that FIFA released in the end? So I'm just plugging a charger in. The footage that FIFA released?
No, but I know a ball's ran, and I know that first picture that was released is from an angle. So I used my brain and thought to myself, well, I guess the angle doesn't really help the image. So when I eventually saw the other image, which is a better angle, straight
it's unbelievable line, how many people didn't think of it that way, you know?
It is interesting, though. Someone done it with a bit of paper. I don't know if you see it on Twitter, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it looks well out, doesn't it? Like, and then when you actually show it above, it's not. It was quite a very, very clever thing to do, you know. So,
should we talk about?
They're out, and they, like, you know what I mean. So, I think if that happened to us, we wouldn't be too happy about it. But it's the way it is, isn't it?
Just before I think James moves on to the Arsenal players at the World Cup, just want to say, I think Lee mentioned Portugal are his dark horse, and Turkish, you mentioned Japan, have been the surprise package. I've got a feeling Morocco, I think they've got Spain. Yeah. I'm not convinced Spain win that game.
So, oh, you're not convinced Morocco win that game?
Yeah, I think Morocco. Something about Morocco, you know. I think they may.
I'm sorry to all the Moroccans.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Hang on a minute. Can we just end this like nonsense now, please?
Yeah. Oh, Morocco. What have I done? To upset you?
This guy, what the
I'm done. Go on, James.
All nations of the World Cup are watching this podcast, just hoping that their name doesn't come up. I think Morocco, you know.
You know when they're sitting down for the draw and they're all next to each other and they're in their...
Imagine it, they've gone down to breakfast now, like, you know, here's your ticket. Yeah. What's this for? Like, yeah, Jordan's just tipped us to win it. Like, yeah, all right.
Flying back early.
See you in the summer, lads.
Can we have a serious debate, please? Can we have a serious discussion, please? Can we have a serious chat about football? I do think Morocco may cause an upset there, but let's see.
I think you're right. You're right to mention Morocco because they're
Spain 5, Morocco
0. Nah, good luck. I want them to go through, but we just talked about systems and players coming out of systems and looking a different player. In the World Cup, but you know, if you look at someone like Ziyech, who comes out of a somewhat rigid system over the years at Chelsea and gets a bit more freedom, you can see a bit of the old Ziyech, a bit of the Ajax one that initially caught the attention of teams in Europe, including us at one point, and then obviously Chelsea got the deal done. But time is just flying. We're nearly half an hour in and we haven't even discussed England yet. So I think it's worth touching on England. They won the Wales game 3-0, a heavily changed side. Saka didn't start the game. What do we make of it? Was it a case of Saka dropped, or like many of the teams in the group stages in the third game, they gave a chance to the other player?
Can I go first?
Drop for me.
I think the way to look at it, Turkish, is if England had to win that game, do they start that lineup? I don't think they do. I think he was rested. I think if England had to win that game, I think Saka starts. I think they didn't have to win the game, so he can afford to make some changes. And therefore, I think he thought now is probably going to be the best and possibly last chance to give people...
That's the best he's ever been. Look at that. I don't know. What's it? Whoever done that is fantastic.
I'll tell you what just happened. Jordan just predicted to himself that he'd make it through the whole podcast.
Someone
just gone round to his ass and pulled the plug there.
Someone just phoned me.
I'm going live at 7 in the morning.
It's my Morocco buddy.
Talking
my
crap. Friend. Keeping me up.
I think it was the last chance Southgate had to kind of not rest, but try another few players and give them a chance to stake a claim. And to be fair to Foden and Rashford, they did. They did. So I don't think Saka was dropped. I think he was rotated, because I think Southgate had the luxury of doing that.
Well, that was already through, even if they lost, weren't they? Come on, they had to lose 4-0 to Wales to have any chance of getting knocked out. It weren't going to happen. But I'm going to say this now. It's not having a go at Rashford and Foden. I thought that they were awful in the first half. Absolutely awful. You know, and Rashford only... it's an unbelievable thing about confidence. A professional footballer, like, you know, plays for Manchester United. As soon as he scored that free kick, his game went up tenfold because his confidence had come back, like, you know. So it'd be very interesting. I think that... it depends. If Senegal sit in and defend deep, then realistically, like, Rashford's not your man because he's one to go in behind, you know. So you need the trickery of a Saka and or a Foden, like, you know. So I'll be very, very disappointed if Saka isn't playing and Mason Mount is, because I think that it's what, 6 out of 12 games he's been man in the match for England. Doesn't deserve to be dropped. 2 goals in the first game. Everybody played bad against USA apart from Maguire. So for him to be dropped would be a real kick in the teeth for him. And I think that he's been England's best player over the course of a season. Why? do I say that? He's been England's player of the year. Like, you know, you don't get given that for no reason. So it'd be very, very interesting to see what happens. But I think because he's young, I think that sometimes will go against him. And I think, for me, Mason Mount and Sterling, nothing against them. They're just out of form at the wrong time, guys. They're just not in form at the right time and don't deserve to be in the England team because of that. That's the only reason, in my opinion.
I'd play all three. I think all three should start. Sterling, Saka and Foden, and Mount. I think Mount gives the team balance. I don't think he's brilliant for England, but I think he does give the team a little bit of balance. That. I think Sterling's form for England is good. His form for a club level is not good. But Sterling's form for England is goodly. He does perform for England generally.
But what do you mean by balance? Because I think that's something England struggle with a lot. Because I think their balance is pretty bottom heavy if you look at the way they play.
I think of the options that Mount is up against, though it's either Mount, Foden or Madison, if you like, I think he's the one that actually is better at being understanding when to sit and when to progress with the ball. I think instinctively, Madison and Foden want to get on the ball and go forward. Their first thought is always forward, attack, which is no bad thing. But I think when you've got a team that doesn't have a good defence, as England don't have, I think you need a midfielder that actually is happy just to kind of be the guy that sits about 10 yards deeper and is happy to think at times, okay, maybe going forward isn't the best option here. I think he offers England that personally. I think Mount's really underrated. I don't think he's great for England. I think he was the only player in the whole squad at the Euros last year that came out worse than better. I think everyone came out on par, if not having had a good Euros. I think Mount was the only player that actually came out minus. But I do think he offers something that I don't think Madison, Grealish or Foden can offer. Although I think they also offer attacking threats that Mason Mount maybe isn't quite of the level. But I do like Mason Mount, so I would start Mount. But I understand why people don't have him in their 11.
Safest option out of the three as well, you could say.
Yeah, and I think safety is important. I know everyone wants England to go gung-ho and score 15 goals and attack. I'm not, my views on that anyway. I think you need that guy that actually is happy just to kind of get on the ball and think about the team rather than think about how can I set up a goal.
If I was to pick a three, I'm going with Saka, Foden and Rashford at the moment.
Saka, Foden, Rashford.
Behind Kane.
Mm-hmm. I came out of the Wales game going, how have England scored 9 goals in this group stage?
Yeah.
And not look that good? But that's just me. And the thing is, I think a lot of people think England's level might be here. There we go. And I think England's level might be here. But then I think everyone else is level in the tournament isn't really much higher than there or there anyway. Like, what I'm trying to say is, I watch England and I'm not blown away, but then I'm not really with anyone else. I was with Spain for a little bit, but there's absolutely a lack of firepower there. And I think they'll be good in 4 years. But, England could definitely win it without being spectacular. Let me put it this way. England, I don't think, are anywhere near France of 2018, Germany of 2014, Spain 2010.
Mm-hmm.
But
Italy 06, Brazil 02.
They've scored 9 goals, boys. They've scored 9 goals against 2 teams that are not in the World Cup now. The team that's gone through with them, they didn't score against. The two teams that have been poor,
I don't want to be too critical because, 7 points is more than France got, it's more than Spain got, it's more, fair play. Undefeated and 2 wins and a draw, and you could say they managed the USA game quite well because they realised they weren't at their best and they took the clean sheet and they moved on to the next. That's fine, but I just thought even against Wales, it was just a bit, like, let's be honest, the Rashford free kick should be saved. I mean, Ward had a shocker.
Yeah,
I think the same.
Any second goal should have been saved. Went through him.
But what we do have is a little bit of individual quality, like that Harry Kane, ball across goal for Foden. Made a mistake, but that's a good goal. I know it feels like a Wales mistake, but it's really good quality. And he showed it with the Sterling one in the Iran game as well. you know, that ability to drive it across goals. So we do have individual quality, and Harry Maguire's playing well. He stepped up, and I actually want to make a point of it because he's had so much criticism, and I think a lot of it justified because of how poorly he's played. But I want to point out every time now he's playing well, I think he is doing his thing for England, and maybe just having enough quality in the final third and having enough defensive stability will be enough for England. But Turkish, you don't think they're going to get past Senegal, do you?
No, I think no. Well, I wouldn't say that. They're favourites too, but what I would say is you can't overlook Senegal 100%.
Sorry, I'm just
you tried to throw me in it. Listen, I wouldn't be surprised if Senegal pull it out the bag. I think England are lucky that Mane's not there, even though Senegal are still a solid outfit, defensively resolute. And I think with England, across the three games, I've seen enough of the same old to know that if they come up against a France, an Argentina, a Brazil, maybe even a Spain, they won't be able to muster the win. And that has been the story of the last couple of tournaments. Anytime they come up against a team that has anything about them, be it a Belgium, a Croatia or an Italy, England tend to fall flat on their face. And I feel like this is similar. I think that in order for that perception to change, they needed to start the tournament in a different vein, whereas they started it in the same type. Listen, I know they started with a big victory, but then when you look at Iran in that first game, I don't think they represented themselves well, and they bounced back in the second game. But if you look at the 90 minutes against the US and the first half against Wales, they were stifled enough, and it seemed like they was shot of ideas at points. And then in the second half against Wales, they got free. But I look at Wales capitulating more than I do England opening them up. So I just think that once they face a team, finishing first in the group means they're going to be playing France if they get past Senegal. Finishing second would have been playing Argentina if they get past whoever it is. I just think that the time is coming where England... Have England changed? I haven't seen enough to say they have.
You could be right, Turkish, but I also think that tournament football is about peaking at the right time. England haven't been great so far. They have not been impressive, but again, you know my thoughts on tournament football. Group stage especially, just get out of the group. That's job done. I would be surprised if Senegal were to win. If Senegal were to beat England, that would be a massive shock for me. Not because I'm disrespecting Senegal, and I don't particularly think they're a great team. I think they're a decent team. I think they're half the team without Mane. I think there's threats there from the likes of Sarr could cause problems, but I'm sorry. If Senegal are knocking out the World Cup, that's poor. That is a big shock for me. That is not good enough. And I think Southgate would have to resign. He would have to resign. Getting knocked out of the last 16 to Senegal, that is a shock for me. So I'm expecting England by hook or by crook to get through that match. And then it is looking like France in the next stage. I think France, I said this before, I think France can beat England. I think England can beat France. As James said earlier on, I've not seen any team that I think, oh yeah, that team, that's the team to avoid. Brazil don't scare anybody. France look the best, but they look beatable. I mean, they've got Hugo Lloris in goal. Come on. When you've got Lloris in goal, you've got a chance. Let's have it right. So I think England, forget France for now, navigate this win, navigate this game against Senegal. But I would be surprised personally if they were to lose.
On the peaking early part, and I think you're right with that. But I look at Brazil and Argentina, and I think, you know, they haven't really hit their peaks yet. Argentina especially, who started the tournament with a loss, a shock loss, and they've bounced back in a mature fashion. So I think that, yeah, you could say that for England too, but there's also some other teams out there that you could, you know, mention that maybe their peak is yet to come. James, Lee?
I'm confident we'll beat Senegal. Like, you know, I think that Gareth's pen can be kept safely in his waistcoat for this week. No problems whatsoever. I don't think there'll be any problem. I think that we'll comfortably come through this game, quite comfortably, 2-0, maybe even more. I look at Senegal, haven't really got that potent killer up front, and I think that England will eventually break them down. And listen, you know, to England at this moment in time, to have the group that they have and then have Senegal in the last 16, you know, if you was to say, pin your way to the quarterfinals, that's how to go. For England, it starts in the quarterfinals, as far as I'm concerned, you know, when they play France, or, you know, I think it will be France, let's be honest. And then we'll see how we go. But like, you know, it's a minimum, it's the minimum requirement. Like, you know, when you look at the group and Senegal in this round, I know there's been shocks, but I think it changes a little bit now. I think there's shocks in this competition because in the last group stages, because teams have just been throwing things at it. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, oh, like for instance, some teams got to score a goal and they're playing one at the back, and then they have a team go and get a goal, you know, or say for a Portugal, they're resting players, their mind's not quite on it, same as with Brazil. It's different now, and I don't see England slipping up in this game.
England wins all round?
I think England go through after extra time, actually. Either extra time or pens. I think England will do it, but I think Senegal will work them really hard. I'm with you, Turkish. I could see a little bit of an upset there, but just looking at the paths very quickly, Netherlands, USA. Should we do a little quick prediction?
Yeah, go on in.
Round robin.
Right, Netherlands, USA. Turkish?
Draw after extra time, Netherlands.
Draw? Draw extra time, America.
Lee?
A narrow Netherlands win in 90.
I think the Netherlands will win. Then Argentina, Australia.
Comfortable 90-minute win.
For Argentina.
Same. Same for me.
Yeah.
Comfortable.
Yeah, I'll go with the same. So that would be the USA versus Argentina in the quarters. Japan, Croatia.
That's a good one as well. I think draw extra time. Extra time, Croatia, because of the tournament now.
Ooh. Croatia are my dark horses, but they're looking old now. They are starting to look old. And so Japan,
I'm changing my Japan after extra time.
And Japan look anything but old. I'm gonna go Croatia just 90 minutes.
Lee?
Japan just 90 minutes.
Ooh.
Croatia for me. But again, wouldn't be surprised. Brazil, South Korea.
Oh, Brazil 90.
Brazil extra time.
Brazil comfortable 90.
I also think Brazil extra time, actually. So that would leave us Netherlands versus Argentina and Croatia versus Brazil as two of the quarters already. Let's quickly fly through the others. England, Senegal, we've all said England. France, Poland.
France, easy.
France, nice. France comfortable, yeah.
Yeah, France comfortable.
I agree. I don't think Poland have looked that good at all. Morocco, Spain.
After extra time. Morocco.
Morocco penalties.
Spain just 90 minutes.
I think Spain will do it. So either one. All right. Yeah. And then Portugal, Switzerland.
Portugal.
Tough one. Portugal. This is a tough one.
Portugal extra time.
Portugal 90 minutes. Just.
Well, Portugal penalties. It's got to be one game with penalties.
I think Switzerland are going to surprise them, you know. But we'll go to Portugal as that's the majority. So that would leave us England, France, and then either Morocco or Spain versus Portugal. So there's some great lineups there. There's a potential Argentina, Brazil semi-final. The potential France or England versus Spain or Portugal semi-final, but we know that there'll be some kind of upset or whatever. So, listen, it's lining itself up really nicely. I think we've got some really, you know, really excited and really exciting end to the World Cup. I mean, is the final next Sunday?
Yeah.
No.
Sunday week, isn't it?
Sunday 2 weeks. Two weeks on Sunday. Round of 16.
2 weeks tomorrow.
Yeah, 2 weeks tomorrow. Yeah, I'm being good. That makes sense. So, yeah, strap in. Lots of good football. Of course, we've got the Arsenal friendlies as well.
Can we just quickly just talk about... I know Lee wants to talk about our Brazilian players, Jesus and Martinelli. I know, Lee, you thought... You were saying before we came on there that you were impressed with Martinelli.
So was I. I said it on Big Six, but a lot of people in the chat disagreed with me.
Yeah, I didn't.
One of those.
Yeah, sorry. Go on, sorry.
He was a shining light for Brazil, yes, sir. I know like Brazil made a lot of changes, but I thought he was very, very positive what he'd done. I actually think that Brazil were poor yesterday. I have to say, and it kept breaking down. But I thought he was the one shining light. I didn't think Jesus done too much. Worked hard, but not too much. Bruno Guimarães in midfield was absolutely shocking.
Do you think?
Yeah, you know how many chances he missed, Jordan?
He missed a couple of big chances. But I'm telling you, he is the exact midfielder Arsenal need. I'm gutted that Newcastle picked him. I'm telling you, we need to try and get him in the summer. I love him.
Newcastle, no chance.
I know.
I think he's a very, very good player.
I love him. But he missed a couple of sitters, yeah.
I just think that they was all poor. They give the ball away too much, you know. I watched it and I watched Anthony in the first half, flat as deceived. But Martinelli does what's on the tin. He takes on players. He puts in crosses. I thought he was brilliant in the first half. I really do. I think he faded in the second. But I think it was a poor performance. But I think he was a shining light. And I'm not being biased on that.
I thought he was average. I don't think he did enough to suggest to Chichi, the manager, I should start the next game. I don't think he did enough. I thought he was okay. I wanted a bit more from him.
100%,
but
he didn't do enough because to displace a Vinicius, you got to be scoring two goals, maybe a hat-trick to even entertain the thought of that. So I get you on that. He didn't do enough. But I mean, when you're looking at Jesus and Martinelli, I think Martinelli had the better introduction to the starting lineup. And he caused some problems. I mean, maybe some people might say he should have scored. But I think he would cause problems, he ruffled feathers, and he was the one to remain on for the 90 minutes off the top of my head. Did he stay on for 90?
He did.
Martinelli's, he's having exactly the kind of World Cup I wanted him to have, which is not be in the limelight, but get his moments, get a start for Brazil, have those really confidence-boosting moments, come back fairly fresh. That's what I need for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ah, cool. Well, we've made all of our predictions. We've discussed the majority of the group stage fixtures that we could in the time we have. I do want to round it up now because I know a couple of us have got meetings to get to and whatnot. But before we do, comments of the day. We've all picked one out, I believe. Hopefully, we've all picked one out. I went first last time round. Jordan, you go first this time round.
I've got two quick ones. So my first one was somebody commented and said, what was it? It was about Lee. And it was, how can Lee be shell-shocked but not surprised? He said something and you were like, I'm shell-shocked but not surprised. That made me laugh. And then the other one was when Jordan starts talking, I want to stand on Lego. That made me laugh as well. That made me chuckle.
I've gone for one. It's from LJ and it's not me, So I didn't want to just make that point clear Looking forward to Jordan justifying Uruguay as a World Cup winner. So I say that absolutely fast. Well done, LJ.
James?
Oh, I gave mine earlier, the Arjvin comment. Just thought it was one I resonated with massively.
And I got one here that quotes the time in the last, quoting 21 minutes. Well, not quoting, but linking it to 21 minutes and 8 seconds. DJ Breeze says, Mr. Free Hit, is that you? LOL, sorry, Lee, I couldn't resist.
Bang out of order, bang out of order.
It's been a while since you've heard that, isn't it?
Yes, it is a long while since I've heard that, and I still stand by it, you know what I mean? So, but there's no free hits no more, So,
I've just noticed, Lee.
Pick up for Mikel that weekend, you know what I mean? So,
I've just noticed, lovely bit of AFTV Christmas merch you've got there.
Yes, I thought I'd bring it on, you know what I mean? So I don't know if you can see it, try and stand up a bit. Look at that.
I don't need you to. That's fine.
Hey.
I don't know, I just got cramp in my leg, you know what I mean? I'm getting old, lads, I tell you. I'm getting old right now.
You just be comfortable, man. We need you for the podcast, man. We need you for the podcast. Bit of yellow there as well for hoping.
I'll be wearing this on the watch along for the for the friendly this Thursday, like, you know. So
yeah, there you go, people. We are doing a watch along for the friendly, so make sure you are here on AFTV. Subscribe, notification bell on, and you'll see what's to come. A lot of content coming out, even though it is World Cup time. We're still delivering, people. Big up Jordan, big up Lee, big up James. Love for the lovers always, people. Hit the like button on your way out. Let's get it to 1,000 likes and continue leaving your comments. Keep them respectful as always, people. There's been a massive improvement in that sense. And we'll keep on giving you guys the comments of the day. One each every week. Or twice a week at times too. But we are back probably Wednesday-ish. That's the next time there's a little break in between the last 16 and quarterfinals. So we'll be there in between to review the last 16 games and preview the quarterfinals. We'll see what it's looking like then. People, we are out. Love for the love. Hit the like button. You know what it is already. Peace. Sports Social Podcast Network.